off her boots.
Had mine earlier. Doc and I have been on wreck. Dean spotted some smoke drifting over the trees, and we followed it to a vill about 5 miles away. Good walls, no rads. Seems okay.
His interest shifted to their mission. Any chance of getting a wag there? Christy stroked his cheek, tracing a fingertip along the jagged scar. The man wore his life on his body, the network of healed wounds telling more than anything else could. He was a stone-cold killer when necessary, and yet would share food with strangers when there was extra. No starry-eyed dreamer who lived on wishes, he was the ultimate pragmatist, and yet many times during their travels, they helped save vills he might never see again. Ryan only wanted to live in peace, but constantly shook the world until its teeth rattled. Christy considered him the only real man she had ever known.
Ask me that again, later.
And the redhead slowly unbuttoned her shirt. The sun was high when the companions left the Pine Island and headed for the mainland. They were carrying all of the remaining supplies, along with the gift from the beetle warriors. A narrow land bridge crossed the inlet, and soon they were walking through fields of scrub grass. Broken stone walls sectioned the landscape, showing that the area used to be farms at one time. Mountains rose in the far distance, the rocky crags seeming to support the ominous dark clouds filling the sky. A beaten path wound through the grassy fields and windswept arroyos. Soon the companions reached a flattened dirt road leading toward the high stockade of a vill. The outer wall was made of logs and stones, rising to twice a man's height, the top bristly with sharp sticks and a few strands of rusty barbed wire. Sekmen, armed with homemade blasters, stood guard at the open gateway, the man and woman watching the companions closely as they approached. The guards were tense about the open display of blasters, but they said nothing as Ryan and the others walked into the vill.
They must get a lot of outlanders.
Or the guards are fools.
Inside the walls, they found a bustling community built from the remains of a pre-dark city. The houses and buildings were arranged in orderly rows, the streets clean, hard-packed dirt. A gallows stood by itself, though no rope dangled from the killing bar. People walked about carrying baskets and buckets. The aroma of frying fish was in the air, along with the smell of horses.
Whoever built this place knew what they were doing. See how far apart the labs are from the public water well? No cholera here.
Good defenses.
Ryan gestured to tall towers made from felled trees. Sekmen stood guard holding crossbows, with strange curved axes hanging from thongs at their hips.
Throwing axes. Mighty hard to learn. Kill good.
Jack noted this while straightening his collar, being very careful of the razor blades hidden within the fabric. Doing a wreck, the companions entered the Ville Commons and watched a potter spinning bowls from red clay, a horde of children staring in fascination at the process. A fat woman was selling beer from a tub, while a white-haired tailor mended the shirt still on a burly man, and a barber cut hair.
Civilization, such as it is.
Better than that junkyard, Ville.
True enough.
Ryan worked the slide on his Sig Sauer, ejecting a live round. The brass spun in the air, and he caught the bullet, returning it to the clip. He holstered the piece.
Now they know we're armed and have ammo. That should hold down the chilling.
The crack of a whip made Doc stop in the street, a hand going to his sword stick.
Mother of God.
Near a kindergarten jungle gym, now a coop full of cackling chickens, a line of people tossed shafts of grain on a millstone. The great slab of granite rotated along top of another, grinding the wheat into flour. Four thick poles embedded in the top stone were being pushed along by a dozen people in chains, their backs bent to the arduous task. An overseer watched their progress and touched up their speed with the flick of his bullwhip.
Slaves.
Doc started forward. Ryan stopped him with a grip of iron.
We don't have the time or the firepower. First we take care of ourselves. Then we'll see what can be done about the slaves. Forget it for now.
Radiating fury, Doc glared at Ryan, a vein in his forehead pulsating steadily. He knew the one-eyed man had never been a slave of another. A captive, yes. Forced to work and kill for some baron's amusement, yes. But never a slave. And so Ryan couldn't really know the emotions welling within Doc. Slowly, the old man relaxed his stance.
Yes, you are correct. It is not a matter to be taken care of today.
Ryan nodded and continued walking. Leaving the marketplace in their wake, the companions reached a strip mall from pre-dark days. The display windows were long gone, replaced with wooden boards, but it was still a mall. The supermarket was now a tavern, the bank a gaudy house. Some local toughs lounged outside, chatting to a young woman with an old face. Upon seeing Ryan walking their way, the men took their leave. J.B. called to the woman.
Hey, miss! Over here!
Dressed in the loose, revealing clothes of her trade, the blonde ambled toward them and opened her blouse, exposing small but pert breasts.
What you want, stud? I'll do you right here for some of that brass I saw you flashing. Or we can go to my tent if you're shy. I'm Dancing Feather, the hottest slut here, no matter what that bitch at the Red Bear Tavern says.
That's not what we want.
Ryan withdrew a single 9mm round and bounced it in his palm.
Tell us about this place. Who's in charge?
The whore beamed a smile and closed her blouse, stealing a quick, jealous glance at Christy and Mildred. She sidled closer and reached out for the bullet.
Old man Polk is the baron here. He's okay. Finds us enough to eat each winter, don't allow no rape in public. But you better hop when he says frog, or he'll serve the wheel. Any sec man can load that in his blaster and fire it.
So that's where the slaves at the grinding stone came from. Local criminals, slow to obey. Ryan withdrew his hand.
More?
Placing hands on hips, she glared in hostility, then burst into laughter.
Okay, fair dealing. This is Flat Rockville, and unless you're a stoop, that's obvious.
She jerked her head toward a squarish boulder in the middle of the ville, located near an empty flagpole, and a World War II howitzer in remarkably good condition.
Get a lot of strangers?
I sure do.
Feather grinned, wiggling her hips suggestively, then ceasing the act since it was getting her nowhere.
Yeah, sometimes outlanders arrive, but not very many these days because of the muti in the water. Big, nasty thing, lots of teeth and...
Not interested. Is there a stable where we can buy horses?
Buy a horse? You that rich?
Ryan said nothing. She shrugged. It wasn't her business.
Go down the street, past the burned-down church, then follow your nose.
Ryan tossed her the bullet.
Thanks.
Tucking the round someplace safe, the slut watched them walk away. The bullet would buy her a week of sleeping under a roof and all the stale bread she could eat. And just for talking. Outlanders were idiots. Then she reconsidered that. Maybe they really did have enough jack to buy horses. They certainly gave up a brass easy enough. Heading across the town, the companions passed numerous folks in the street, many of them carrying long poles tipped with curved blades or heavy nets laced with dull copper wiring.
Gator hunters?
Shifting the duffel bag on his shoulder, Jack snorted.
Too late?
Beyond a hole in the ground filled with rubble and stained glass, Ryan found their goal. The stable was a former gas station. The horses corralled in the service bays, water troughs where the fuel pumps used to be located. The office was now living quarters, ratty furniture resting on bricks instead of legs. Iron grates covered the window, and curtains made from shag carpet had been hung to afford some level of privacy. Ryan knocked on a metal sign bearing the logo of a winged horse.
Customers! Anybody home?
Out of a back room walked a man with a protruding belly, his clothes covered with food stains, a throwing axe in his hand.
Oh, just outlanders. No jobs here, got a stable boy for the mucking. Try the farms north of here.
We're here to buy.
Ryan lifted a fistful of rounds from his pocket. The action also showed the Sig Sauer resting on his hip. The demeanor of the stable owner changed on the spot.
Well, well, why didn't you say so?
He tossed